there's very little doubt that we have to go from a party event to a call for the to the nation for action. Action to help our fellow citizens in this time of tragedy and disaster. Action in the form of volunteering and donations and the reaching out our hands and our hearts and our wallets to the people who are under such great threat of this great natural disaster.
That was John McCain before Hurricane Gustav hit the Gulf Coast yesterday morning and the Republican National Convention was scaled back. The convention should go back to a more normal schedule today after the festivities and much of the speeches postponed yesterday in deference to Hurricane Gustav. We will talk about what's in store and we'll talk about recent news on the campaign trail this hour with two Republicans who are in St. Paul, and we will welcome your thoughts and questions for both of them. We start with, and we are happy to have with us, Mark Jefferson, the Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you think that was the best move for John McCain and the Republican Party to put off the convention business because of Hurricane Gustav?
I do think so. I mean, there are times when the political operation has to take a back seat to what's going on in real people's lives, and I think that's where the focus of the nation was yesterday, and rightfully so. And I think it was only proper that we take a back seat. We did meet basically just to open the convention and pass a few resolutions and get things rolling, but it was a dramatically scaled back event. And it should have been. So, but we're looking forward to today's event and looking forward to a very successful convention.
Yeah. So what's on the tap today?
Well, I am told, and we've been told that it isn't so much day to day as it is hour by hour when looking at the schedule. But hopefully we can get back to a little bit more of a normal schedule. It's my understanding that today Fred Thompson will speak and speak about the John McCain he knows, who puts country first and what he's done in his life to make him prepared to be president. It's my understanding that Joe Lieberman will talk tonight as well about the John McCain he knows and some of the foreign policy issues that are out there and how John McCain is so well prepared to take those on. So that's going to be the theme tonight. I'm told that Mayor Giuliani may be tomorrow night, but we're not sure yet. So like I said, it's kind of day-to-day or even hour-by-hour right now.
No. Yeah. It was also reported that perhaps President Bush, who had to cancel his speech last night, may address the convention via satellite.
Yes, that's what I've heard, too. I haven't heard that that's confirmed yet. The Thompson and Lieberman speaking, I think, is a little bit more in stone. President Bush, though, yeah, I have heard that he may address the convention via satellite. I don't think he'll be able to make a personal visit, however.
Yeah. I just spoke to a guest, a former Democratic communications manager for the state legislature, who said he thought the Republicans and John McCain were maybe breathing a sigh of relief that President Bush wasn't on stage last night because the Republicans would like to distance themselves from President Bush.
Well, I think when you look at the fact that we have a new nominee, it's kind of a new beginning for the party. But President Bush has a lot of accomplishments that he can point out to the American people, and this would have been a good, appropriate stage for him to do that, and also talk about some of the foreign policy challenges that are before us. But at the end of the day, elections are about looking forward, not looking back, and this party is taking a new direction. And people don't really realize it, but with the nomination of Governor Palin, this will be the first time since 1972 that the Republican Party didn't have a Bush or a Dole on the ticket. And so it's a very significant new direction for the party. And we're looking forward to the coming weeks ahead when we think that John McCain has an excellent opportunity to carry Wisconsin and win the presidency.
What's your assessment? What's your opinion of John McCain's choice of Sarah Palin as his running mate?
Well, I have not heard a bad word from Republicans in Wisconsin about this choice. I know a lot of people are very excited about it. There was some apprehension about some of the names that were floating around out there, obviously, with the Republican Party. We hear a lot from the base, and some folks were not as exciting as others. There was also some concern about, well, does this individual or that individual really have what it takes to appeal to the independents? In Governor Palin, I think we have someone who really does appeal to those independents. At the same time, has a lot of core Republican values that I think we can all rally around here. So Republicans are very excited about Governor Palin, and I am too.
Do you have any qualms about her readiness to take over the presidency on day one, should that need to happen?
Well, when you think about it, she has not been governor for very long, but she already has more chief executive experience than the other three running for president or vice president combined. So I think that has to be taken into account. And I also think it's a character issue that people look at as well. Here's someone who had the fortitude to step up. I mean, she was living the American life. She was raising a family. She was involved, but wasn't, you know, a politician. She was someone who saw a need to do something and then got involved. She didn't feel the need to be somebody and then ran for office just to fulfill some career dream. She saw something that needed to be done, and she took it on. And that was cleaning government in Alaska. And I think people can look to that and say, hey, wait a minute, a maverick chose a maverick here. And that's the type of character that we need to clean up what's going on in Washington. And that's why I think that she has what it takes to be president, because so much of it is having the right values, and she does.
Now, what about her foreign policy experience, though?
Well, I think any chief executive, governor of a state, is only going to have so much foreign policy experience. I mean, no governor really can go up there and say that I've met with foreign leaders or I've negotiated treaties or what have you. But we have a pretty long history of electing former governors president. And I think voters like the chief executive experience. And I don't think that that's a problem that she faces that's really unique.
Yeah. The story that captured a lot of attention yesterday was the announcement that Sarah Palin's 17-year-old daughter, unmarried daughter, is 5 months pregnant. Your reaction?
Well, I think when you start talking about the lives of kids, I think the American people look at that and think, you know what, that's off limits, and that's really not something that we should be delving into here. I think they were pretty respectful of that with Chelsea Clinton, and I think they're prepared to begin. So I don't have a lot of comment on it beyond that, just that I think most of the American people feel that this is something that's really not relevant to the political debate. I think a lot of folks are heartened that she felt that she could come talk to her parents about it. I think it probably shows that Governor Palin and their families have once again faced what a lot of families face out there. I mean, they have real lives, too. But beyond that, I think there's a general discomfort in delving too much into the private lives of families, especially the children involved.
Yeah. There are some who are saying that, John McCain says he knew about the daughter's pregnancy before he picked her to be vice president. But this story and the other story about Troopergate, whether or not Sarah Palin tried to get her former ex-brother-in-law fired as a state trooper while she was governor, they have a lot of people wondering whether the McCain campaign vetted her enough. Do you think she was vetted enough?
I don't doubt that there was an extensive vetting process that went on, but I don't think an issue like this would prohibit John McCain from appointing her as a running mate, nor do I think it should. Nor do I think the American people feel that way. I think if they felt that there was anything to this trooper issue, that they would have taken that much more seriously. But the fact that they looked into it, I'm sure that wasn't news to anybody. That was out in the news for months. I'm sure they looked into it and thought there wasn't much to it. And I think the average voter is out there saying, look, We knew they were going to try and throw something at her. There's never been anyone who's entered American politics who hasn't had some issue called into question by the other side. That's just the reality in American politics these days. So I don't think this is the type of thing that's really going to scare off too many people.
We are talking with Mark Jefferson, Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. He's in St. Paul for the Republican National Convention. You can ask him a question. You can send an email to talk@wpr.org or call 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. A special on-point call-in after 9 o'clock live from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. Host Tom Ashbrook talking with guests from the convention after 9 o'clock. Kathleen Dunn and her guests will continue our coverage after 10 o'clock. We're covering it, too, with Mark Jefferson, Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, with us to give us a Wisconsin perspective about what's happening in St. Paul and talking about some of the current issues on the campaign trail. Bill in Deerfield joins us first. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question about Ms. Palin's activities in Alaska, but first about kids. It was John McCain that said Chelsea Clinton is so ugly because Janet Reno is the father.
Well, I don't...
I mean, but that's the truth. That's what he said. So
Let's stop all of the name-calling.
Okay. Well, that's part of his character.
Well, I think he apologized for that and said it was inappropriate
right.
and moved on. I think diehard partisans have had a hard time moving on.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about Janet Palin's activities with the Alaska secessionist movement? She was very, very active in that group, especially now that the Republicans are going with unity and America First. She was very active in having Alaska secede from the Union.
I'm not familiar with that issue. I know that Alaska has a lot of local issues that a lot of the Continental 48s have not taken up. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to look at the records of Sarah Palin, and you're going to compare them to John McCain, and you're going to look at two mavericks and two people who have reached across the aisle once they were in public life. Sarah Palin has appointed independents and Democrats to her administration, to her cabinet. John McCain has reached across the aisle to get things done and has a proven record that we've all witnessed over the last two decades of doing so. So I think in a lot of ways you're seeing two candidates with the same type of values committed to cleaning things up in Washington, and I think that's what's going to appeal to voters over the next several weeks.
Thank you, Bill, for the call. Mitch in Bayfield is with us now. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, good morning. As I lovingly call myself a recovering Republican, I have a question as to what the state and you are doing, and of course the national delegation, to bring the Grand Ole Party back to what it used to be, not being dictated by the far right and religious people, which I consider myself religious. And that's my main question, and what we're doing to get, you know, to get away from these points that you were just talking about. We're tired of the war. We're tired of hearing that McCain was a prisoner of war. What are we doing to move on and stop this nonsense and rhetoric you were just discussing?
Well, what rhetoric, Mitch?
You were just talking about, you know, petty points about Palin and other things. We're more concerned about the large picture. Like, I'm a small business owner, and I have seen little or no support for me within the Republican Party, as I used to see.
All right. Mark Jefferson?
Well, I think you're going to see a difference between the candidates laid out. I mean, John McCain did have to spend a lot of time here talking about the positive part things that he brings to the office and his past, and I think that does have a relevant part to play in this whole debate. But I think I agree with the caller in terms of we need to have a debate here about things like the economy, and I think we're having that debate. I think there's a clear difference between the two parties here. I think there's a clear difference between what John McCain believes in terms of cutting back the cost of government, in terms of cutting back taxes, making tax cuts permanent, versus Barack Obama, who wants to raise taxes. I think people, we need to make the connection here as to how higher taxes often lead to less jobs. And when you're trying to turn around the economy, the last thing you want to do is raise taxes and take more money out of the private sector and give it to government, because that stifles job growth. And I think jobs and energy are two of the top issues here domestically that are a lot on a lot of people's minds. So I think you're going to see a clear contrast between the two candidates.
Frank in Green Bay emails this question for you, Mark Jefferson. It's unusual. If while campaigning you meet someone who says, "I am voting for John McCain only because he is white and Barack Obama is black," will you welcome that support, or would you encourage that voter to find another candidate who more reflects his or her views?
I am not interested in the support of folks who think that way. This party has a proud record of taking on the top issues and making all people's lives better, whether it's politically popular or not, going back to the 1860s. And I don't think this is something that the party needs to, I don't think the party needs to reach out to those types of individuals, nor would I ever do so. I'm very proud of the fact that we've got a woman on the ticket for the first time in our party's history, but that isn't necessarily why I support her either. I really like her maverick image. I really like her, the fact that she's a breath of fresh air, and that's what makes, I think, the vice presidential candidate so attractive. The fact that she's willing to reach across the aisle to get things done, to put her country first, and she's not part of the Washington establishment at a time when people are really looking for a new direction. So these types of divisive politics are not something that I think this party is about, and certainly nothing that I want to be a part of.
Diane in Fenimore is with us. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. It appears to me that Sarah Palin is really in the pockets of big oil, and instead of standing up to big oil, she's in the pockets of it.
Why do you say that, Diane?
Because she used to be the chairwoman of the Alaska Oil and Gas Commission, I think is what it was called. I used to live in Alaska. And also, how hypocritical is she for advocating abstinence-only education in the schools in Alaska? Her daughter is pregnant, which, I don't know, take that or leave it.
Yeah, we only have a limited amount of time with Mark Jefferson.
Well, I think just serving on a oil and gas commission does not automatically make one in the pockets of big oil. I think that any Republican who's out there and not just completely advocating all of the liberal democratic policies when it comes to energy is going to be accused of being in the pockets of big oil. It's almost become such a cliche that I don't even know how to take the debate any further than that. As far as the other issue, very quickly, I do think that there are goals that we all lay out for ourselves on a personal level, and sometimes we achieve them, sometimes we don't, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to aspire to certain levels of personal conduct. But lots of times, we're all human. We fall short, and that's just life.
Yeah, one more for you, Mark Jefferson, and then I'll let you go. I know you have a business. Mike in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. A couple of points. I think the media has a tremendous responsibility in this election, and, you know, the media is so absolutely biased. I take great pleasure in turning off the TV whenever I see Chris Matthew or Keith Olbermann's face because, you know, they're practically foaming at the mouth. With regards to the Governor Palin, what I'm waiting to see is her debate with Joe Biden. And I think this election is a question of character. You know, all the rhetoric and all the blab is just that. I want to see her face to face with Biden and see how she handles him. And, you know, this question of her daughter, in fact, I think it's the host of this program, I think it was your first or second question that you brought that one up. So, you know.
Well, it's in the news today, Mike, and that's why I wanted our guest to respond to it. Mark Jefferson, the media unfair to Governor Palin?
Well, it depends, I guess, what channel you want to turn on. MSNBC, I don't think from a Republican standpoint, is fair at all. I think Keith Olbermann is kind of directed it one way. I don't have a big problem of listening to what other points of view are out there. I think it's valuable for Republicans to hear what the other side's talking about so we can be more effective in the debate. But I also agree with the caller that I do look forward to the debate. I think expectations are low, and I think she's going to really surprise. At the same time, they're also very valuable because debates and conventions at this time in history where people only have a few minutes to turn on a TV and get a soundbite, it's one of the few opportunities we have anymore to really let the candidates put on their best display and really make their best pitch to us, whether it's in a convention or in a debate. There are very few opportunities where you can sit down for a half hour or an hour and just let them have a free exchange. So I'm looking forward to the debates as well as the convention.
Yeah, well, I will let you go. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mark Jefferson, Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota. He's, of course, at the Republican National Convention. We will welcome in just a moment a delegate who is representing Wisconsin at the RNC, and we will welcome your questions and thoughts for her as well. Talking about the latest news in the race for the White House, and a lot of that news is about John McCain's vice presidential running mate, his pick for VP, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. The announcement yesterday by Sarah Palin and her husband is that their 17-year-old daughter is pregnant, and that they are still showing her unconditional love and support. The daughter is expected to marry the father of the baby. And Barack Obama is among those saying that reporters should back off.
I think people's families are off limits. And people's children are especially off limits. This shouldn't be part of our politics.
So do you agree? Should this issue be off limits? 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. We welcome with us now to talk about politics, Michelle Litchens, a Republican delegate from Wisconsin's 6th District. She lives in Oshkosh, and she joins us from St. Paul. Good morning. Oops, I didn't push the right button, so let me do that, and then welcome
Here
you
we
on,
are.
Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. I was going to say, good job with the name. Few people can do that.
Well, I told myself it rhymes with kitchens, so Litchens, okay.
Right.
Well, let me get your reaction first to the very latest news about the vice presidential running mate of John McCain's, the pregnancy of Sarah Palin's daughter. Do you think this is relevant in the race for the White House? And do you think it will have any impact whatsoever on the campaign?
You know, actually, I think this is great that this subject is coming up, because this is an issue that families in this country deal with every day. You know, as a mother myself, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, my daughter is just about 10, but I couldn't even imagine my reaction to, you know, learning that my daughter was pregnant when she was 17. So, I think that this is just another issue that's making Governor Palin more real and tangible to American families, because, like I said, so many of us, or not myself, but you know what I mean? So many people have to deal with this exact issue. So, and the family got together, they talked about it, you know, they loved their daughter and they took responsibility for their actions, and she's walking the walk, you know, she's a pro-life individual, and so I give them a lot of credit. But it was interesting that Obama said that, you know, we should not talk about this issue, because I think the issue in and of itself is something that many, many Americans do have to deal with. So I think it's an issue that should be talked about. Also, you know, thinking about this, I mean, these young kids, like I said, they're taking responsibility for what happened. The dad of this baby has stepped up to the plate, and they're going to be getting married. So I think this could be really inspirational to a lot of young people who find themselves in the same situation.
Yeah, you don't see her losing any support from, say, Christian conservatives who, you know, are upset.
You know, there are Christian conservatives every day who find themselves in the same situation. So I don't. I just think this is a real issue that people deal with all the time. I mean, how many of us can say they don't know anyone who's been in this situation? You know, if it's not your family, it's a friend of the family. So this is just a real issue that affects that affects many, many, many Americans.
Yeah. Well, let's take some calls for you. Oops, that's the wrong call. I have fumble fingers today. Jackie in Reedsburg. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
First of all, I want to say that this whole topic should be totally off limits. I think Barack Obama did a great thing by commenting to that. I think it has absolutely nothing to do with her ability to be vice president. I think that, you know, the Democrats aren't going to need this because she is so inexperienced. She has such a right-wing viewpoint that, you know, leave this alone. And as far as earlier, somebody said, I hope that they debate the two vice presidents. Well, they've already come, and Joe Biden's going to have to be very careful because she's a woman. And so I think it's going to be very interesting, but I think it's just going to prove whether or not she's going to be a grandma means nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just that her inexperience is going to say it all.
All right. It's the experience that matters, according to Jackie. What do you say, Michelle?
You know, it's interesting that's coming up, but something I think we need to think about is Governor Palin has more executive experience than even Senator McCain does. I've been talking with some legislators here, and they said when you're a legislator, you know, you just pretty much work with your own folks, and you just ask for more, 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 more. When you're in an executive position, you actually are the one that says, no, you can't, and you're a direct target for the people who want more. I think Governor Palin has proved that when she put herself in an executive position in the state of Alaska, that she was able to stop corruption, and she put herself on the line to do that. So, you know, you can talk about the experience, and you're right. She hasn't been a politician forever, and thank goodness for that. She's a real person who deals with real issues that I, as a working mother, deal with every day. So I think, actually, he couldn't have picked a better candidate to run with him.
Yeah. Are you concerned, though, that Joe Biden does have a whole lot more foreign policy experience, and when they're matched up face-to-face on October the 2nd in the vice presidential debate, that will show through?
Not really. I mean, Senator McCain has a tremendous amount of foreign policy experience. I mean, we brought in Bill Clinton, who was the governor of Arkansas, who had absolutely no foreign policy experience other than dealing with his own National Guard, and no one seemed to worry about that at the time, so I don't think this is any different.
Yeah, what about, though, John McCain himself said his number one criterion for selecting a running mate is that the person would be ready on day one to lead. And, you know, God forbid, we hear John McCain is 72 and has had numerous bouts with skin cancer.
Sure. I think one definition of experience is the ability to make good judgment, and she has proven that. So I completely trust her that if she were to, you know, all of a sudden find herself as president, I think I would completely trust her judgment. She's proven that.
Yeah. Back to the phones. Jim, listening along on the web, calling from Salt Lake City. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. You know, when I heard the announcement, it made me think of the game show Family Feud. And the question was, what vice president candidate would be chosen to shore up Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania? And John McCain said the governor from Alaska. And everyone paused for a second and said, good answer, good answer. But is it really the best answer to win the Midwest, including Wisconsin? Because the economy is such a big problem, and the economy in Alaska is so much different from the Midwest. I just don't see the connection, and I think that might be the linchpin if she can't help carry out those three states or those four states.
Mm-hmm. So, Michelle?
This person, I think she's an outstanding pick. She was the mayor of a rural town, which is what makes up the entire Midwest. She can relate to the issues that these, you know, these smaller towns have to deal with on a daily basis. She makes decisions about the economy every day for her state, and she makes decisions every day for her family. So she is a real person who has to deal with the issues that we, as, you know, people, voters in America, deal with on a daily basis. I don't think he could have chosen a better candidate to run with him.
We're talking with Michelle Lichens. She is a Republican delegate representing Wisconsin at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. She is from Wisconsin's 6th congressional district. She lives in Oshkosh, talking with us about all the news coming out of St. Paul and beyond about vice presidential running mate Sarah Palin, her daughter pregnant. The campaign confirmed yesterday. We'll talk more about other questions swirling around Sarah Palin, including did she get enough vetting? We welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, it's a special On Point call-in with host Tom Ashbrook live from the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. Kathleen Dunn and her guests will continue our coverage after 10 o'clock this morning. We're talking with a delegate at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, Michelle Litchens, our guest, and we welcome your thoughts and questions about the news of the day coming from the convention and elsewhere. Jeff in Spring Green is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I think that it is kind of hypocritical for the party of so-called family values to have a candidate that doesn't have this as part of the story. I think this should be part of the story. It says something about her character.
Why does it say something about her character, Jeff?
Well, because, the Republican Party is always trying to preach to other people about abstinence and not teaching birth control and things like that in our schools. And I think for her to have this on her doorstep just says something about her character.
Well, I don't know if it says anything about her character, Jeff, but it does show some sort of a contradiction there, does it not, Michelle? Are you know, the issues of abstinence and sex educations in the schools and her positions on those issues, that's relevant, isn't it? I'm sorry, are you still there, Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I would completely disagree. I mean, we need to teach abstinence, but obviously birth control doesn't work all the time either. So, and this is an issue that happens to Christian families and you know, atheist families. I mean, it happens to people, every family or average families all across the country every day. So, and, you know, parents can teach their children, love their children, encourage their children to do numerous things, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to follow through with it. So, but I think Governor Palin has done the right thing to take responsibility for what's happening. She loves her daughter. Their family got together and made a decision. The father of this baby has stepped up and taken responsibility as well. I mean, that's something that I think we need to praise. So, and again, I just think this is an issue that so many folks have to deal with. This just makes her more of a tangible candidate. So I just don't know how this can be a negative for Governor Palin, because she's not the one personally in this situation.
Yeah. There have also been stories about whether Governor Palin was involved inappropriately with trying to get her ex-brother-in-law fired as a state trooper when the man and Palin's sister were going through a divorce. There have been some other question marks raised about other issues, and those saying that, you know, maybe she did not get vetted enough, that maybe just a couple of meetings with John McCain was not enough. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I would hope that the McCain campaign did do enough research on her, that they're fully aware of everything that might come out in the press. I mean, they were very aware of her daughter's pregnancy. I'm sure that we're not going to find out too much else. And again, I mean, they've been talking about, I've heard reporters from Alaska talking about this state trooper thing already. I don't think it's going to go much further than it's already gone.
She did hire an attorney, though, to, you know, to advise her during this investigation.
I think if I were in the situation, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Next, we go to John in Gays Mills. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. One of the numerous things that bothers me about this candidate is the fact that she's against all stem cell research. My mom is dying of Parkinson's, and it's because of the Bush administration and the right-wing agenda of no stem cell research you know, that people don't have as much hope as they could. You know, the ability to fight disease is you know, that's like a right we have, and anybody who would stand in the way of that right to fight disease, to help yourself, to help save yourself, this belongs nowhere in public office. And your candidate's just been so clear on how she feels about stem cells that you just got to be crazy to vote for someone like that.
There's a big difference between saying no stem cell research and then saying that we can use stem cells, but just not from embryos. And they have never actually found, when they've been doing research with embryonic stem cell research, I mean, they've never proven that to be useful specifically for something, but they found tremendous cures from stem cells from adults and also from umbilical cords. And so I am all pro stem cell research, just not from embryos. And so I think that's kind of misleading when people say that Republicans or conservatives are against stem cell research, because we're not. We're just against using stem cells from embryos.
Thanks to John. Now we go to Diane in Madison. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I would just like to say that it shows a lot of character for John McCain and his party to hold off on the convention and take a front seat to help the people and assess the value of all the disaster that was going on at that particular time, and not to go around campaigning as though nothing was happening. I think that kudos to him and his people, and all the stuff about Sarah Palin, I think that should take a back seat and people should forget it and move on. Thank you very much.
All right, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
Well, you agree with that, Michelle?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when we first learned Sunday afternoon that Monday was going to be cut dramatically short and that we weren't going to be having any speeches last night, I think everybody was a little saddened by that. But at the same time, McCain's motto is country first, and he truly walks the walk when it comes to that. So he said he didn't want, you know, all this hoopla and celebration going on when our country is in peril down in that area. So, and yesterday we, the whole convention floor said a prayer for all of the people down there, for their safety. You know, we were collecting money. We've got volunteers doing numerous things for hurricane victims right now up here at the convention. So I think Senator McCain certainly does walk the walk when it comes to country first. And I think everybody here is following lockstep behind him in that.
Yeah. Are you afraid, though, that your candidate is a step behind Obama because of the postponement of everything and the attention on these other issues?
Definitely. And that certainly saddens me that we're losing an enormous amount of media time. And this, again, is our opportunity as Republicans to share ourselves, you know, without being filtered through any media sources. It's our opportunity to show what we believe in our own words, and we're losing out on some of that time. But again, you know, with the hurricane going on, I completely understand why they've done that.
Yeah. So you tell us why you are such a strong supporter of John McCain's and the McCain-Palin ticket.
Myself, my husband and I have a small business. I'm a mother of two, and I believe in the issues that McCain and Palin believe in, and they just represent me, and so I'm going to be working hard for them this year.
Yeah. Joan in De Pere is with us. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. Yes, I am very concerned about choosing who is but a heartbeat away from the presidency, and I have, and like your guest, I was a small business owner, a very busy business, and I did very, very well at it. But to take me and put me in charge of a Ford Motor Company or any large business that's in trouble, as our country is in trouble on nearly every front, huge deficits, whereas you go from a successful small business to trying to run a huge country, I just think we're asking for trouble with this choice.
Yeah, Joan, I understand your analogy, but what do you say to those who say, well, she has more experience than Barack Obama?
Well, she has the experience that I have in a small business. It's just not comparable. She is not on the national scene. She is from a state with a very small budget. The things that she has done, for instance, taking the Bridge to Nowhere monies, and instead of being a team player, being someone with an outlook for the entire nation and returning that to the Treasury and saying, we don't need this. Sorry, we...
No, hold on. That's bringing up a whole different issue,
yeah,
Joan.
Did I?
Yeah. Now, she did say.
She completely said she doesn't want the Bridge to Nowhere.
Yeah. She said that in her appearance with John McCain, that
right.
She said thanks, but no thanks. But then, if you look back in the records, apparently she did support it in the past. So you could look at it as a flip flop.
I guess I'm not familiar with that. But at the same time. The executive of our country needs to be able to make good decisions. And I think Sarah Palin is perfectly capable. She has proven herself, not only as governor, but as mayor and as a mother, that she has the ability to make good decisions when she needs to. She is an incredibly strong individual. You know, someone who can sit on, she was appointed by the governor, sits on a committee, finds corruption, goes to the governor and says, you need to stop this, and he said he wouldn't do it. She quits the committee, and she runs against a sitting Republican governor to change this, you know, to get rid of the corruption there. I mean, that says a lot about the integrity of an individual. That's someone that I want leading our country. So I believe she's ready to take on the position.
Next, we go to Ann in Sheboygan. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Speaking of good decisions, I think that the way that Barack Obama vetted his candidate for vice president was excellent. It took a long time. He involved a lot of people, and he came up with a good decision. And John McCain had decided a long time ago he wanted Joe Lieberman, but there was somebody from his staff that I think his last name was Black, came to him and said, if you do that, you'll blow the party apart. So hence he, pell-mell, without making a long, careful decision, chose this lady.
You know, people were talking about Governor Palin in February. Newt Gingrich brought her up on TV. Many people are very aware of what she's been doing, especially because she was willing to take on the Republican establishment in Alaska. So she is someone that folks have been talking about for some time. And again, I would disagree that this was just a split-second decision. I think they definitely did their research. And again, why would the Republican Party want a Democrat on the ticket? You know, I mean, then there's three Democrats and one Republican running for president, so are running to go to the White House. So I think this is a perfect decision for the folks that are supporting John McCain.
Next, we go to Rob in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Rob. You're on the air.
Good morning. I think Sarah Palin is a fantastic pick for vice president, and as a nominee, I think she'll prove herself, and I'm so thrilled that John McCain made this pick. Barack Obama wishes he would have made a different pick, and as a mayor, as a governor, she has shown so much integrity. There are family members that we have that have gone through pregnancies and teen pregnancies, and it's a real situation. It happens to families everywhere. People ought to drop it and move on and focus on the things that are important, like our economy and the price of gas at $3.69 when you drive by a station and you go, wow, and a year ago you wouldn't believe that the gas prices would be so high. I think there's a lot more important things to talk about than Sarah Palin's daughter. And this is a fantastic pick. If Obama was smart, he would have picked Hillary.
All right. Well,
I completely agree. This is also a woman who no longer wanted a driver, so she drives her own car. She fills up her own gas tank. You know, I'm not sure about the other three candidates if they're still doing that themselves, but this woman balances her own checkbook. She knows what it's like to pay for gas nowadays. So, and again, think about the fact that she's the governor of Alaska. I mean, and she wants to drill for oil up there. She said the people up there want to drill for oil so that we can become more dependent on our own energy sources and not foreign oil. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think she's an outstanding pick.
Do you think there are voters out there who supported Hillary Clinton, who are disappointed she's not on Barack Obama's ticket, who will vote for John McCain because he chose Sarah Palin?
You know, I might not agree with everyone else on this because I don't think too many Hillary supporters are going to be jumping on Sarah Palin's bandwagon. But I do think there are a number of women out there that might not be hard right or hard left who just might look at her and say, you know what, she's just like me. This woman knows what it's like to deal with my children's teachers, so she has a better grasp about the education system and what we need to do to make it better in this country. So I do think she's going to gain a number of women who might have been sitting on the fence, who might have said something similar about Hillary if she was the vice president, presidential pick for Obama.
One more for you. Derek in Grays Lake, Illinois. Hi, you're on
yes.
the air.
Hi, good to be here. I think the issue with the election of Ms. Palin, appointing Ms. Palin, is very good from political point of view, but from the presidential point of view, it can be catastrophic. If, God forbid, Mr. McCain dies and she will become the president, you're going to be dealing with major people who represent their countries with the extensive political and socioeconomic experience. You know, you want to mention Ms. Bachelet in Chile or Ms. Angela Merkel in Germany, and you're going to have the country totally headless as far as intellectual capacity of understanding the issues. And this is real danger. You know, I read a lot of international press, and Europeans are just simply aghast because the message is that it really doesn't matter who's at the top. It can be just simply anyone who just can have a very good marketable name or somebody who actually brings some kind of political lightweight into the picture.
All right. So, Derek, I'm sorry. You're saying that the rest of the world would be aghast?
Yes, because...
Yeah. All right. What about that, Michelle?
And again, I completely disagree. The woman has proven herself to be able to make good judgment, to make good decisions, to do the right thing, even when she's putting herself in harm's way. So... You know, excuse me, the fact that she's not all familiar with all of the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., I don't think that has anything to do with being a good president. This woman has shown and proven herself that she can make good decisions as an executive. So I really don't think that we have anything to worry about if anything happened to Senator McCain.
Boy, she certainly, or her pick anyway, has certainly got people talking on both sides of the aisle. What are you looking forward to most from the convention, Michelle, in our final minute?
In all honesty, I can't wait to see Governor Palin speak. I believe she's going to be speaking tomorrow evening. So, and we're just all very, very, very excited about that. And it looks kind of like we're back on schedule. We don't go to the convention floor until tonight at 6 o'clock. So, we're very, very, very excited. And then, obviously, we're excited Thursday evening to officially nominate John McCain for president.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking some time to be with us. We
thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. Michelle Litchens, Republican delegate representing Wisconsin. She is from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. She lives in Oshkosh. Earlier, we had Mark Jefferson, the executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, with us. We thank both of them. We thank Cynthia Schuster and Bill Martins for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.